Mother's Questions and Answers, April 11th, 1956. In this class, Mother explains the dual nature of the creation, Ishwara Shakti. Ishwara is the supreme unmanifest, and simultaneously existing is Shakti, his power of manifestation and manifestation, which he puts forth out of himself, or which, as Mother said, is also himself, just seen differently. She says it all in a beautiful and simple way for the children to grasp and to understand. It's a key concept in all of Indian philosophy and yoga, and also in the teachings of other cultures as well. It's very deep and it's very high, this truth of Ishwara Shakti. And this concept, the divine in his being and the divine in his force of cosmic realization, realization in the sense of being a concrete manifestation, a physical thing, is one of the great underlying themes of Savitri. The two who are one is the final secret knowledge that is attained by the great yogi king Aswapati, Savitri's father, the traveler of the worlds. And we know that this is really Sri Aurobindo doing his own sadhana. And he spoke often of the fact that it was when he realized the importance of the mother, the divine mother, and of course, in this case, the divine mother embodied by the mother in the ashram, but the divine mother in the whole process, that everything really kind of clicked into place in what was going on and in the yoga for himself and for everyone. And in Savitri, Savitri is this divine force of cosmic realization. She is the divine mother herself. She takes birth, she takes human birth, to conquer death. And throughout Savitri, Sri Aurobindo returns to the theme of Ishwara Shakti again and again. And most of the time, he treats it like the greatest relationship of all time, the greatest love affair that anyone could have, that anyone would dream of having. The very first question and answer is about Ishwara, the divine, creating himself as his own Shakti. And then Mother speaks about one of the aspects of Shakti, part of her substance, which is the power that reveals the creation. Then she explains the difference between the personal divine and the impersonal divine. For many people, Mother and Sri Aurobindo are their personal divine because they embody the dual consciousness, Ishwara Shakti, and it is that full dual consciousness, which is the new consciousness that is manifesting now. We've already noticed in this year of 1956 that it's mostly the girls in the class who are asking the questions. It seemed that when the class had reached the maturity or the level of understanding and interest about actually doing the yoga, and they started asking all these really deep and penetrating questions, that we heard mostly girls. And it is still the case. Each week it's been the girls with an occasional boy student and that older disciple who seems to have more practical things to ask about, the one that Mother works with so she can understand what he wants to know. One of the things that people who are doing Sri Aurobindo's yoga are told about is that the mother will do their yoga for them, and that the best thing they can do to make it easier and to make it really work is to surrender to her. And this is based on the fact that Mother embodies the consciousness of the divine creatrix force. In his book, The Mother, Sri Aurobindo says that the mother stands at the border of the unmanifest and bears in her eternal consciousness the Supreme Divine. She brings the truths that have to be manifested here into our manifested creation. Now the new consciousness is coming. And this is what is manifesting on Earth eventually for everyone. And right now, consciously only for a few. This is what we're doing the yoga for. And it is the mother, the Divine Mother, who brings it. The Divine Mother, who is also the creation. And so she is the force which is manifesting. When we can be open and surrendered to her, she's the best source of the new consciousness in us, and she makes the changes that transform us. This is the swiftest road, the swiftest way to get full realization and transformation. We get in this class really nice examples of the tender and loving way that Mother is teaching these young people. A lot of that is only on the tape. Some, not all, is in the books. When one listens to the tape, it's not just the words and ideas that Mother responds with, but the way she responds, her voice, and the way she speaks to them is a teaching of love and tenderness. The original tape will play right after the reading of the English translation. So it's the 11th of April, 1956. We're sitting in the class, and Mother has just read the French translation of the Synthesis of Yoga. And here in the books, they've printed one paragraph because it's the basis of the next question. And this is what that says. On one side, the seeker is aware of an infinite and self-existent Godhead in being who contains all things in an ineffable potentiality of existence, a self of all selves, a soul of all souls, a spiritual substance of all substances, an impersonal, inexpressible existence, but at the same time, an illimitable person who is here self-represented in numberless personality, a master of knowledge, a master of forces, a lord of love and bliss and beauty, a single origin of the worlds, a self-manifester and self-creator, a cosmic spirit, a universal mind, a universal life, the conscious and living reality supporting the appearance which we sense as unconscious, inanimate matter. And a girl asks, "Sweet mother, what does a self-creator mean?" And mother says, "Are you asking what does it mean? It means that he creates himself." Create is taken in the sense of manifesting, of making objective, apparent. So, it is his own self that he manifests. It is himself he manifests, makes evident, objectivizes. It is in that sense. Basically, the word create is usually taken in another sense. It means to make something out of something else. But that is why Sri Aurobindo says self-creator, which means that he gives an external form of himself to himself. It is a change of the mode of being. Instead of being an unmanifested possibility, it becomes a manifested reality. It is simply reversed, nothing else. It is the same thing. In this way, it is not seen. In that way, it is seen. That's all. You turn it round again, and it is seen. You turn it like that, and don't see it. You turn it like this, and you see it. That's all. It's as simple as that. And then there's a silence. Mother waits, and another girl says, "Sweet mother, here I have not understood." And she reads, "On the other side, he becomes aware of the same Godhead in effectuating consciousness and power, put forth as a self-aware force that contains and carries all within her and is charged to manifest it in universal time and space. And Mother says, yes, but that's it. That's exactly what I was saying. In one way, it is as if it did not exist, and then it is put forth, you see. He does that, and they've written gesture, and Mother is probably making a gesture of something being put forth. And then Mother says, he puts it forth, and it becomes visible and existent. And then, instead of being one thing existing all at once, it develops itself. It is manifested in time and space. And you hear the girl going, like she's understood. And then Mother says, this is what Sri Aurobindo says. That is what begins the idea of time and space, because it isn't simultaneous. The girl says, then he says that means the human, or does it mean? And Mother says, that means the consciousness of the Supreme, you see. The power and the consciousness, doesn't it? And the girl reads again, quote, puts forth as a self-aware force that she contains and carries within her and is charged to manifest it in universal time and space. And then Mother says, the consciousness. And then there's a silence, and another girl says, sweet Mother, the consciousness of the divine consciousness force? And Mother says, And the girl repeats, the consciousness of the divine consciousness force? What does the consciousness that reveals mean? And Mother says, the consciousness which reveals means that it again manifests that which is invisible, that which is imperceptible, which reveals, which expresses, which shows. It is the substance which makes the consciousness force become perceptible, you see. It is the consciousness force which carries out. And the girl says, here it says the divine consciousness force means mother of the world. And Mother is agreeing. She goes, And then the girl reads, she manifests the multiplicity of the divine in the universe, involving and evolving their appearance without end, out of her substance which reveals. And Mother says, it means the substance which reveals. It means that it is the capacity to make perceptible. She has the capacity to make objectively perceptible that which is not manifested, and it is that capacity which makes the substance that reveals. And there's a silence, and Mother says, is that all? And then another girl says, sweet Mother, that duality of Ishwara Shakti isn't clear. And Mother says, And the girl says, clear. And Mother says, isn't? And the girl says, so clear. And then we hear the voice of a different girl giving some advice to the first girl, and she says, she has not understood. And Mother laughs very lightly and gaily, like she's very amused by the children, and she says, it means that one has not understood. And she laughs a little more. And then she asks, what is it that is not clear? And the girl says, the duality of Ishwara Shakti. And Mother says, the other one is simpler, isn't it? For it is cut into two, distinct. One is reality, and the other illusion. One is light, and the other darkness. One is consciousness, the other inconscience. One is truth, the other falsehood. That is very convenient. Here, it is much more difficult. It is the same thing which exists in itself, unmanifest. And then, suddenly it does this. Mother makes this gesture of projection out. And she says, and it is exactly the same thing, but it is a movement which puts forth what was within, and that's what makes the world. It is the same thing in a double movement, as when you sleep, and when you wake up, or when you remain still, and when you begin to move, or when you are silent, and then begin to make a noise. It is like that. One movement is within, containing everything in itself, without any expression of what is there, and the other movement is just this. To do like this, and then Mother makes the same gesture of projecting out, and she says, and all that is within oneself comes out. And then, for this to become perceptible, it must be continuous. When it is within, it can be simultaneous, because it is unmanifest. So all is in an eternity, outside time and space, immobile, inexistent. In the other sense, everything becomes, and so, in a continuity of perceptions, which follow one another and spread out in space and time. And it is exactly the same thing. It is exactly as if you are like this. A mother makes a gesture of being doubled up and says, and then you do this. And she makes a gesture of opening. And so, what was there comes out. So these two movements are literally opposite, but it is the same thing in two opposite attitudes, and which are simultaneous. It remains like this, inward gesture, and at the same time, it is like this, and Mother makes the outward gesture. The one does not cancel out the other, and they exist simultaneously. But in one sense, it is imperceptible, because it is contained within itself. In the other movement, it throws itself out, and so it can be seen. And when it is self-contained, it is coexistent in a perfect simultaneity. And in the other movement, it unfolds itself in a constant becoming. And when it unfolds itself, it necessarily creates time and space. While there, it is outside space, outside time, beyond all possible perception. But it is the same thing with two opposite movements. And that is truly what is. It is like that. And when it does this, Mother makes the outward gesture, it does not cease to be like that. And Mother makes the inward gesture. That is to say, when it is self-contained, it does not cease to manifest itself. And when it manifests, it does not cease to be self-contained. That is to say, it is a permanent and simultaneous duality, but it is the same thing. One single thing in two opposite aspects. And then she waits a little bit and she says, that goes in a little? No? Everyone is quiet. And then Mother says, nothing? You have nothing more to say? And then we hear the voice of a boy, and he says, sweet Mother, may I ask you a question I have already asked before? For I haven't understood you well. And Mother says, ah, let's see if I can make myself clearer. And he says, I haven't yet understood well the meaning of personal and impersonal. And he quotes, the two great elements of the divine mystery, the personal and impersonal, are here fused together. And Mother says, And then she's quiet for a while, and then she says, you are personal, aren't you? You feel you are a person, don't you? And then there's the air. You don't feel the air as a person, so the air is impersonal. This is not altogether correct. It is an analogy. The air, the wind, the water, these things, they do have a personality. So what I say isn't completely true, but this is only to make you understand. The air is something to which you cannot give a precise and definite form. Air is a good example. It is everywhere, in your body, outside your body, here, there. But it has no precise form, isn't it? It has an exact precise composition, but in fact, we are not talking about chemistry. We are speaking only of the appearance. You don't have the feeling of a person when you think of the air. I wouldn't say as much of water, because water has very precise characteristics. The water of one river is not the same as that of another. And this is perceptible, so it also has something of a personal character. But the air, or steam, gives you the impression of something which is not a person. Well, that's it. When a force or quality manifests in a definite body like yours or someone else's, it becomes personal. But when it is everywhere at the same time, and without particular characteristics, expressed in an indefinite way, then that is what is called impersonal. So the personal God is the God to whom a form is given. For example, the inner God of each one is a personal God, for he has a personal relation with each one. He is the God who belongs to this person, who is his very own. But something which has neither form nor characteristics, and which has no definite outline of any kind, and with which one cannot have a personal relation, that is the impersonal divine. And so, Sri Aurobindo says that there is a state in which the two are one. Still, it is the same thing. It is like the right and wrong side of the same material. If you approach the divine in a certain way, you meet him in his impersonal form. That is to say, you cannot have any personal contact with him. But if you approach him in the other way, then you meet him as a person who is quite out of proportion to your little person, but with whom you can have personal relations. And yet, it is the same divine, seen like this or like that. And that is what he means, you see. Do you understand better or not? Not yet? And the boy says, yes, he understands. And mother says, good. And then she asks, is that all? Is there anything more? No? Finished? And then she says, it has been long.
Qu'est-ce que ça dit, un créateur de soi?
Hein?
Un créateur de soi.
Créateur de soi? Qu'est-ce que tu demandes? Ce que ça veut dire? Il se crée lui-même. Créer est pris dans le sens de manifester, de rendre objectif, apparent. Alors c'est soi-même qu'il manifeste, c'est lui-même qu'il manifeste, qu'il rend évident, qu'il objective. Alors c'est dans ce sens-là. Au fond, Le mot créer est généralement pris dans un autre sens. Ça veut dire faire avec, faire quelque chose avec, avec quelque chose d'autre. Mais c'est pour ça qu'il met de soi. Ça veut dire que c'est de lui-même qu'il, c'est lui-même à qui il donne une forme extérieure. C'est un changement de mode d'être. Au lieu d'être une possibilité non manifestée, ça devient une réalité manifestée. C'est simplement un renversement. Pas autre chose. C'est la même chose. De cette façon-ci, ça ne se voit pas. De cette façon-là, ça se voit. C'est tout. On retourne et ça se voit. On tourne comme ça, on ne voit pas. On tourne comme ça, on voit. C'est tout. Aussi simple que ça.
Ici, je n'ai pas compris. De l'autre côté, il perçoit le même divin dans la conscience et la puissance efficiente poussée en avant comme une force consciente d'elle-même, contenant et portant tout au-dedans d'elle et ayant pour mission de la manifester dans le temps et l'espace universel.
Oui, mais c'est ça. C'est exactement ce que je te dis. D'une façon, c'est tout, c'est comme ça, c'est comme si ça n'existait pas. Et puis alors, il y a un ami qui pousse en avant, n'est-ce pas? Alors il fait comme ça, il le pousse en avant, et ça a pour... ça devient visible et existant. Et alors, ce, au lieu d'être une chose qui existe tout en même temps, ça se développe, n'est-ce pas? C'est manifesté dans le temps et dans l'espace. C'est ça qu'il dit. C'est là que commence la notion de temps et d'espace, parce que ce n'est pas simultané.
Alors ici, de là manifesté, là ça veut dire lui-même. Ou ça veut dire...
Là, ça veut dire la conscience, je suppose, non? Puissance, la puissance ou la conscience, ou...
Poussée en avant comme une force consciente d'elle-même, contenant et portant tout au-dedans d'elle et ayant pour mission de la manifester dans le temps.
La conscience.
Substance révélatrice de la divine conscience force. Substance révélatrice de la divine conscience force. Qu'est-ce que ça veut dire, substance révélatrice?
Révélatrice, ça veut dire encore qui manifeste, qui rend visible, qui rend perceptible, qui révèle, qui exprime, qui montre. C'est la substance qui fait que la conscience force devient perceptible, n'est-ce pas? Non, c'est pas une, c'est la conscience force qui naît là.
Ici, c'est la divine conscience force, ça veut dire mère du monde.
Et alors, une substance révélatrice, continue la phrase.
De l'autre côté, par le croissant, ça change. Elle manifeste le divin multiple dans l'univers, évoluant et évoluant ses apparences sans fin hors de sa substance révélatrice.
Ça veut dire la substance qui révèle. Ça veut dire que c'est la capacité de rendre perceptible. Elle a la capacité de rendre perceptible objectivement ce qui est non manifesté. Et c'est ça, c'est cette capacité-là qui fait la substance révélatrice. N'est pas
assez clair.
Ça veut dire?
Elle n'a pas compris.
Oui, ça veut dire ça, qu'elle n'a pas compris. Qu'est-ce qui n'est pas clair?
Cette dualité des choses.
L'autre est plus simple, hein? Parce que c'est coupé en deux distincts. L'une est réalité et l'autre est illusion, l'une est lumière et l'autre est obscurité, l'une est inconscience et conscience, l'autre est inconscience, l'une est vérité, l'autre est mensonge, ça c'est très commode. Ça c'est beaucoup plus difficile. C'est la même chose qui existe en soi, non manifestée, et puis qui tout d'un coup fait comme ça. Et c'est exactement la même chose, mais c'est un mouvement qui pousse en avant ce qui était tout autour. Et ça fait, c'est la même chose dans un double mouvement, comme quand tu dors et que tu te réveilles, ou quand tu restes immobile et que tu te mets à bouger, ou quand tu es silencieux et que tu commences à faire du bruit. C'est comme ça. C'est un mouvement et comme ça, contenant tout en soi, sans aucune expression de ce qui est. Et l'autre mouvement, c'est justement de faire comme ça. Et tout ce qui est en soi vient comme ça. Et alors, pour que ça devienne perceptible, il faut que ça se suive. Quand c'est comme ça, ça peut être simultané, parce que c'est non manifesté. Alors, tout est dans une éternité qui est hors du temps et de l'espace, immobile, inexistant. Dans l'autre sens, tout devient, et alors dans une continuité de perceptions qui se suivent et qui se répandent dans l'espace et dans le temps. Mais c'est la même chose. C'est exactement comme si tu es comme ça, et puis que tu fais comme ça. Et ça s'en va dehors. Alors ces deux mouvements, littéralement opposés, mais c'est la même chose. Dans deux attitudes opposées. Et qui sont simultanées. Ça reste comme ça, et en même temps c'est comme ça. L'un n'abolit pas l'autre. Et ça existe simultanément, mais dans un sens, c'est imperceptible parce que c'est contenu en soi. Et dans l'autre mouvement, c'est précipité au dehors, et alors ça se voit.
Et quand c'est contenu en soi, ça, cette coexistant dans une simultanéité parfaite. Et dans l'autre mouvement, ça se déroule dans un devenir constant. Et alors quand ça se déroule, ça crée nécessairement l'espace et le temps. Tandis que là, c'est hors de l'espace, hors du temps et hors de toute perception possible. Mais c'est la même chose. Avec les deux mouvements opposés. Et ça, c'est vraiment ce qui est. C'est comme ça. Et quand ça fait comme ça, ça ne cesse pas d'être comme ça. Et quand ça fait comme ça, ça ne cesse pas d'être comme ça. C'est-à-dire que quand c'est en contenu en soi, ça ne cesse pas de se manifester. Et quand ça se manifeste, ça ne cesse pas d'être contenu en soi. Ça veut dire que c'est une dualité permanente et simultanée. Mais c'est la même chose. Une chose unique sous deux aspects opposés. Ça entre un peu, non? Sérieux? Tu n'as plus rien à demander?
Mais est-ce que je peux poser une question qui est posée avant? Parce que je n'ai même pas bien compris.
Ah, voyons si je serais plus clair.
Je n'ai pas encore compris le sens de le personnel et l'impersonnel. Les deux grands éléments du mystère divin, le personnel et l'impersonnel, sont ici fondus l'un dans l'autre.
Toi, tu es personnel, n'est-ce pas? Tu te sens comme une personne, n'est-ce pas? Et puis l'air. Tu ne sens pas l'air comme une personne. Alors l'air, c'est impersonnel. Ce n'est pas tout à fait correct, c'est une analogie. L'air, le vent, l'eau, ces choses-là, elles ont une personnalité. Ce n'est pas tout à fait vrai ce que j'ai dit, mais c'est pour te faire comprendre. L'air, c'est quelque chose qui, n'est-ce pas, tu ne peux pas lui donner une forme précise et définie. L'air est un bon exemple. Il y a l'air partout. Dans ton corps, hors de ton corps, ici, là, mais ça n'a pas de forme précise, n'est-ce pas? Ce qui n'est pas exact, c'est que ça a une constitution exacte, précise. Mais enfin, nous ne parlons pas de la chimie. Nous parlons de l'apparence seulement. Tu ne peux pas... Tu n'as pas un sens de personne quand tu penses à l'air. Je parle moins de l'eau parce que l'eau a des caractéristiques très précise, n'est-ce pas? L'eau d'une rivière n'est pas la même que l'eau d'une autre rivière. Et ça, c'est assez perceptible. Alors, ça a aussi un caractère un peu personnel. Mais l'air ou la vapeur, n'est-ce pas? La vapeur qui est dans l'air. Tu as l'impression de quelque chose qui n'est pas une personne, n'est-ce pas? Mais c'est ça. Quand une force ou une qualité se manifeste dans un corps défini, comme ton corps ou le corps d'un autre, ça devient personnel. Mais quand c'est partout à la fois et sans caractéristiques propres, exprimé d'une façon indéfinie, alors ça, c'est ça qu'on appelle impersonnel. Alors le Dieu personnel, c'est le Dieu auquel on donne une forme. Le Dieu qui, par exemple, le Dieu intérieur à chacun est un Dieu personnel, parce qu'il est en relation personnelle avec chacun. Il est le Dieu qui appartient à cette personne, qui lui est propre. Mais quelque chose qui n'a ni forme, ni caractéristique, et qui n'a aucune délimitation d'aucun genre, et avec quoi on ne peut pas avoir une relation personnelle, ça, c'est la divinité impersonnelle. Et alors, il dit que il y a un état dans lequel les deux sont un. C'est encore la même chose. C'est comme l'envers et l'endroit de la même chose. Si vous approchez, c'est-à-dire si vous approchez du divin d'une certaine manière, vous le rencontrez sous sa forme impersonnelle, c'est-à-dire que vous ne pouvez avoir aucun contact personnel avec lui. Mais si vous l'approchez de l'autre manière, alors vous le rencontrez comme une personne qui est hors de proportion avec votre petite personne, mais avec qui vous pouvez avoir des relations personnelles. Et pourtant, c'est le même divin, vu comme ceci ou comme cela. Et c'est ça qu'il dit, n'est-ce pas? Tu comprends mieux ou pas? Pas encore?
Non, j'ai compris.
Bon. C'est tout? Tu en as encore? Non. Fini? Bon, il est très tard de lire.